The Friend Magazine for August 2015. Contents. Friends by mail, including Friend Forever by Isabella H. How We Read the Friend by Afton, Charlotte, and Lincoln B. Friend and the Family by Rachel B. Heavenly Father Loves Us by Emmeline, Danny, and Dear Friends. From the First Presidency, Fire by President Thomas S. Monson. Tag, You're It by Amy Jane Levitt. Family Fun Time, Bullying. Remembering President Boyd K. Packer. The Watermelon Thieves by Nicole Giles. You Can Repent and Forgive. Bright Idea Poster. Be a Shining Example by Elder Bruce D. Porter. Diabetic, Not Alone by Jessica Larson. Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture by Ari Van de Graaff. Bulletin Board, Anna's Journey by Jessica Larson. Stand for the Right, Question Corner, Fast Friends by Amanda Michaelis. Aim for the Best, Show and Tell, Dancing Through Life by David Dixon. Dare to Do Right by George L. Taylor and A.C. Smith. How Can I Stay Free by Elder Quentin L. Cook. Making Choices by Elder Quentin L. Cook. Clara and the Primary Program by Jane McBride Choate. Fun Stuff, What Do You See? Coloring Page, The Good Night Train by Donna Hawes. Good Night, Ari. Jesus Christ Brings Lazarus Back to Life by Jean Bingham. Matt and Mandy. The Ninth Article of Faith. Shelley's Race by Jan Pinborough. Help, Someone's Getting a Divorce by Catherine Nelson. P.S. Jesus Christ Raises Lazarus from the Dead. And Dear Parents and Teachers. End of Contents.
Friends by Mail. Heavenly Father Loves Us. Our dad gave a family home evening lesson about I am a child of God. He shared a video where people say, I am a child of God. It helped us feel the Holy Ghost, and it reminded us who we are, children of a loving Heavenly Father who cares and is mindful of us. We are happy to have good parents who teach us the way back to Him and for Jesus Christ, who lived again for us. Carolina, Emmeline, and Danny B., ages 7, 1, and 6, Arkansas, USA.
Friend Forever. I love it when the friend comes because I love to read and explore what's inside. My favorite thing to do is find the hidden CTR ring. I also love playing the games and seeing the drawings. I really hope the friend will never end because I want others who come after us to be able to explore this wonderful thing. Isabella S., age 9, Idaho, USA.
Friend in the Family. I really enjoy every single magazine you make. I really like the story about Olivia, February 2014. What I learned is that a family member can be your friend too. Thank you. Rachel B., age 7, Utah, USA.
How We Read the Friend. Even on vacation, we like reading the friend. The stories remind us how to become closer to Heavenly Father. Charlotte, Afton, and Lincoln B., ages 8, 6, and 11, Utah, USA.
Dear friends, do you have a copy of My Gospel Standards? If not, you can print the poster at friend.lds.org. How many of the standards can you name? On pages 20 through 31, you'll find stories and activities all about living these gospel standards. Also, in our For Older Kids section, you can read about a girl who found comfort from Heavenly Father after her parents got divorced and find some answers to help with this tough situation. Stand strong, the friend. Was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of the section, Friends by Mail.
From the First Presidency, Fire by President Thomas S. Monson. When I was growing up, each summer my family stayed at our cabin in Utah, One morning, my friend Danny and I decided we wanted to clear an area in a nearby field so we could have a campfire. We began to pull at the tall grass, but we knew this would take the entire day. I said to Danny, "All we need is to set these weeds on fire. We'll just burn a circle in the weeds." I want to make it clear that both Danny and I were forbidden to use matches without adult supervision. Our parents had warned us many times of the dangers of fire. However, I knew where my family kept the matches, and we thought we needed to clear that field. I grabbed a few matchsticks, making certain no one was watching. Back to Danny, I ran. I struck a match and set the grass ablaze. It ignited as though it had been drenched in gasoline. At first, Danny and I were thrilled as we watched the weeds disappear, but soon we saw that the fire was not about to go out on its own. We panicked as we realized there was nothing we could do to stop it. Finally, we had no option but to run for help. Soon, all available men and women were dashing back and forth with wet burlap bags, beating at the flames to try to put them out. After several hours, the last remaining embers were smothered. Danny and I learned several difficult but important lessons that day, not the least of which was the importance of obedience. There are rules and laws to keep us physically safe. Likewise, Heavenly Father has provided guidelines and commandments to help ensure our spiritual safety so that we can return to Him. It is my humble prayer that we may be blessed with the rich rewards promised to the obedient. Adapted from Obedience Brings Blessings, Ensign, May 2013, pages 89 to 92. Scripture Chase. Using the scriptures below, find one reason we should be obedient. Check your answers on page 48. Number 1, the 10th word in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Number 2, the 4th word in Doctrine and Covenants, section 63, verse 13. Number 3, the 2nd word in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Number 4, the 3rd and 4th words in 3rd Nephi chapter 13, verse 32. Number 5, the 6th word in John chapter 1, verse 42. Showing the way. Heavenly Father gives us guidelines and commandments through prayer, scriptures, general conference, and church magazines. They help show us the way back to Him. Read or watch a talk from April conference with your family. What did the speaker say we should do to stay on the right path? Set some goals with your family. Then set some goals for yourself. Find conference talks at gc.lds.org. End of the section from the First Presidency. Fire by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by Terrell Williams.
Tag, You're It by Amy Jane Levitt, based on a true story. It didn't seem like such a fun idea, at least not for Allie. I want to be kind to everyone, for that is right, you see. Children's Songbook, page 145.
I'm so excited for recess,
Allie told Lauren as they put their lunchboxes back on the shelf in their classroom.
Tammy just said we're all going to play tag together in the playground today.
Fun,
Lauren said.
I love tag.
Lauren was happy and surprised that Tammy had invited Allie to play. Tammy had always been mean to Allie. Lauren was glad she was finally trying to be nice.
I need to take a book to the library first, so make sure they don't start without me.
Allie smiled as she ran down the hall to the library. Lauren raced out to the playground. When she got there, Tammy was already gathering the other kids into a circle. Lauren ran over to join them.
Hurry up, everyone,
Tammy called as she motioned everyone into a tight huddle.
I have a fun idea I want to tell everyone before Allie gets out here.
Lauren didn't feel very good about this. All the kids squeezed into the huddle to hear.
Instead of tagging everyone like we usually do, let's just tag Allie. But no one better tell her, or else.
Tammy giggled. She seemed so proud of herself. Lauren looked at the other kids in the circle. A lot of these kids hadn't been nice to Allie since kindergarten. That's when the kids really started being mean to Allie. They would make fun of her and tease her. Most times, Tammy started it and the other kids would follow. Lauren had never liked how they treated Allie. She decided right then that she wouldn't follow along with them. She knew everyone was a child of God and should be treated with kindness. She took a deep breath and looked Tammy in the eyes.
That doesn't sound like a fun idea to me. I don't think we should treat Allie like that, so I don't want to play.
Lauren walked out of the circle and started back toward the school alone to find Allie. At least she thought she was alone. Then she heard, "Hey, wait up!" Lauren turned around, and there were most of the kids from Tammy's circle. She couldn't believe it.
"Let's go find Allie and start our own game of tag,"
Damon said.
"I want to play too,"
Leah said. The others nodded. Lauren smiled. That awful feeling in her stomach was gone.
"Good idea! There's Allie coming over right now."
She turned and tapped Damon on the shoulder.
"Tag, you're it!"
she yelled, then raced toward Allie. And all the kids came racing after. The author lives in Utah, USA. Lauren and Allie live in Canada. They are in high school now and are still great friends.
Sidebar. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no place for ridicule or bullying. Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Spiritual Whirlwinds, Ensign, May 2014, page 20.
End of the story. Tag, You're It, by Amy Jane Levitt. Narrated by Kristen Hawkins.
Family Fun Time. Read Tag, You're It, page 4. Have you ever stood up for someone like Lauren did for Allie? Has anyone ever stood up for you? Use the activity below to talk about how you can be kind if someone's being left out or bullied. Be sure to get an adult's help with this activity and recipe. Number 1. Write each question below on a separate piece of paper. You can also add questions of your own. Number 2. Wrap one piece of paper around a small shareable treat, like a small bag of chocolate candies or fruit snacks. Tape the paper in place. Number 3. Add the next paper and tape it down. Keep going until you've used all the papers and have a medium-sized ball. Number 4. Pass the ball around and take turns unwrapping a paper and answering the question. When you get to the end, share the treat. Passing kindness. Tell about a time when someone was kind to you. What did he or she do? What would you do if you heard someone say mean things about a teacher or classmate? Have you ever stood up for someone who was being bullied? What happened? How can you tell if someone needs a friend? How can you help someone who needs a friend? Tell about a time when someone was unkind to you. What did you do? If someone bullied you, what would you do? If someone bullied you, what would you want other people to do? What did Jesus do to be kind to others? How can you be kind to someone who is being left out? Rainbow Delight. A kind friend is like a rainbow at the end of a storm. Celebrate kindness with this fruity treat. Strawberries, cut in half. Tangerines or mandarin oranges, pineapple chunks, green grapes, blueberries, and bananas. End of the section. Family Fun Time. Read by Shauna Thompson.
Remembering President Boyd K. Packer, 1924 to 2015. Boyd K. Packer, president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, passed away on July 3, 2015, after a lifetime of learning and teaching the gospel. He was 90 years old. President Packer was born September 10, 1924, in Brigham City, Utah. He and his siblings loved playing outside. Boyd began to draw what he saw. He made animals out of sticks and carved birds out of wood. He often gave these to others as gifts. When he was 5, Boyd became sick with polio, a disease that hurt the nerves that controlled his legs. He had to learn to walk again. Even after he got better, he wasn't able to play sports. Sometimes he felt embarrassed about this, but he focused on improving his other talents instead. After high school, Boyd joined the U.S. Army Air Force and was a bomber pilot in World War II. After the war, he worked as a seminary teacher and supervisor. He loved teaching and learning from his family, too. He and his wife, Donna, raised 10 children. President Packer was called as an apostle in April 1970. He wanted to share his testimony with everyone. He said, "I bear my witness that the Savior lives. I know the Lord. I am His witness." By following President Packer's example, you can also gain a testimony to share with others. End of the article, Remembering President Boyd K. Packer, read by Kate Strongen.
The Watermelon Thieves by Nicole Giles, based on a true story. The watermelon looked so delicious, and no one would ever know. I'll form good habits in my youth, to keep my word, to tell the truth. Children's Songbook, page 149.
It's hot,
Joseph complained to his little brother Lauren. Yesterday a heat wave had blasted through town. Now they were trying to play marbles, but Joseph was so sweaty that his shooter marbles stuck to his fingers.
Let's go for a swim,
Joseph said. As the boys walked toward the Little Colorado River, they saw Sam and Frank, who ran to join them.
Swimming is just what we need to cool off,
Sam said, kicking a rock.
Sure is,
Frank agreed.
Too bad we don't have a sweet treat to take with us.
Then he looked at the field they were passing. The afternoon sun blazed off the smooth, round watermelons in Farmer Davis's patch.
Hey, Joseph,
Frank said.
I dare you to climb over that fence and get us a ripe watermelon.
I don't know,
Joseph said.
Isn't that stealing?
Lauren looked uncomfortable, too.
Come on,
Frank said, pushing Joseph toward the fence.
No one will ever know.
What's the matter?
Sam teased.
Are you chicken?
No,
Joseph said, squirming. Frank started to climb the wooden fence rails.
Come on, don't be a baby. I'll go with you.
Joseph frowned, but scaled the fence and jumped with Frank into the watermelon patch.
Don't worry. We'll only take a small one. No one will even miss it.
Joseph grabbed the closest melon and raced back to the fence. The other boys laughed and took turns carrying the heavy melon as they ran to the river. Finally, they broke open the watermelon. The sticky, sweet juice that trickled down their chins was delicious. But Joseph already wished he hadn't taken the melon. On the walk home, they finished off the last of the melon just as they passed the watermelon patch again. Joseph ducked when he saw Farmer Davis in the field. He glanced up and waved at the boys, who quickly tossed the melon rinds to the side of the road. Farmer Davis frowned, took off his hat, and scratched his head as the boys hurried by. Joseph felt terrible. It had been wrong to take the watermelon. He knew he had to tell Farmer Davis what they had done and ask for forgiveness. That evening, Farmer Davis visited Joseph and Lauren at their house.
One of my prize watermelons went missing. I was wondering if you boys happened to see anyone in my field as you passed by today.
Joseph looked at his shoes, a knot tightening in his stomach.
Yes, sir. We were with some other boys, and I took a melon from your field. We took it to the river, and all of us ate it together.
Farmer Davis pressed his lips into a straight line.
Taking a melon that you didn't grow is stealing.
I'm really sorry. I don't have any money, but I could do some chores to repay you.
I ate some, too, Lauren said. I'll help. Farmer Davis thought for a minute.
Tomorrow morning, when you've finished your chores at home, come by my field. I think I can find some work for you.
That night, Joseph asked Heavenly Father to forgive him for taking something that didn't belong to him. He prayed that next time someone asked him to steal something, he'd have the courage to say no. The knot in Joseph's stomach loosened. Tomorrow morning, he would go to the Davises' farm and do whatever chores the farmer asked him to do. And he wouldn't complain about the extra work or the heat.
Sidebar. The moment we decide to try again, the atonement of Christ can help us. Elder Dale G. Renland of the 70. Latter-day Saints keep on trying. Ensign, May 2015, page 57.
End of the article, The Watermelon Thieves, by Nicole Giles. Read by Van Farnworth.
You can repent and forgive. After you are baptized and confirmed, you are responsible to choose the right. Because of Jesus Christ's atonement, when you do something wrong, you can repent and do better. Think about what you did. Pray to Heavenly Father. Ask Him to forgive you and help you do better next time. Apologize and do something to help make it better. If you need help, talk to a parent about it. When you have repented, Heavenly Father forgives you, and you don't need to keep worrying about it. Try your best to do what Heavenly Father would want you to do. If someone does something that upsets you, here's how to forgive so you can feel better. Try to think about why the other person might have done what he or she did. Think of something good about the other person. Pray for help to forgive when it's hard. Don't keep being angry at the person. End of the article, You Can Repent and Forgive. Read by Eden Reinwand.
Bright Idea Poster. In this month's Bright Idea, a young girl is pulling back her sleeve and flexing her arm muscle. The caption reads, Be thou strong and very courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. End of this month's Bright Idea. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Family History Mystery. Case number 8, The Mystery of the Journal. Dear Detective, did your mom or dad keep a journal when they were growing up? Ask your parents or grandparents to show you their journals. Can you find a good story they wrote about? Copy it into your detective notes. If you don't have a journal, get a notebook and start one. Smart Sleuth Tip. With permission, you can add these stories in the Memories section of FamilySearch.org so others can enjoy them. 10 things to write or draw in your journal. What you're grateful for. Funny, happy, sad, or exciting events. Vacations. Conference notes. Your thoughts as you read the scriptures. Goals. Pictures of your friends. Thoughts from lessons and talks. Your feelings about Jesus. Beautiful things. Print more tags at friend.lds.org. End of the section, Family History Mystery. Read by Noah Strongin.
Friend to Friend, Be a Shining Example. By Elder Bruce D. Porter of the 70, from an interview by Linda Davies. When I think about our four wonderful children, David, Chris, Lisa, and Jennifer, I think about what shining examples they have been to me. David's faith. One Sunday, while leaving for church, our car would not start. We lived in Germany, far from our chapel and other members. My wife and I each offered a prayer for help, but still the car wouldn't start. I suggested that perhaps we should rely on the faith of a child. We asked our 3-year-old son, David, if he would say a prayer.
Heavenly Father, please bless the car to start,
he said simply but firmly. We turned the key, and the engine started right up. We were grateful that day for David's faith. It was pure, simple, and true. Chris's kindness. Once we moved to a new neighborhood where there were no playmates for our second son, Chris. He was either too young for the older children or too old for the younger ones. One weekend, we went on a camping trip together. I noticed him gathering armfuls of acorns. "Why so many acorns?" I asked. Chris said he thought they were terrific, and he wanted to save them as souvenirs of the trip. However, when he got home, Chris decided to do something special with the acorns. He shared them with all the kids in the neighborhood. The kids loved them, and Chris felt warm and happy about sharing and being a friend. Lisa's Scriptures. When Lisa was 9 years old, she felt unhappy and out of sorts much of the time. Everyone in the family wondered why she was so grumpy. One night, as she walked into her bedroom, she saw her Book of Mormon by the door.
"Of course I'm not happy. I haven't been reading the scriptures."
That night, she read a few verses. She decided that she would read every night. As the days passed, she felt happier and more peaceful. This habit of reading the scriptures every day, even just a few verses, has blessed her ever since. Jennifer's Courage. Our youngest daughter, Jen, had to have surgery at age 4. She listened as we explained why the surgery was needed. She knew she would have to spend several days in a hospital. We told her Heavenly Father would bless her. We prayed with Jen, and she prayed too. When the day came, we took her to the hospital. A doctor came and offered his hand to lead her to the operating room. With the simple faith of a child, she took his hand and walked ahead, unafraid and never looking back. The operation was a success, and Jen surprised us 2 days later by singing happily in her hospital bed. 4 Ways You Can Shine. Even though you are a child, you never know when you will be a shining example of the gospel to all who know you. Listen to your parents and your primary teacher. Have faith. Read the scriptures. Pray always. End of the section, Friend to Friend. Be a Shining Example, by Elder Bruce D. Porter of the 70, from an interview by Linda Davies. Read by Dwayne Case.
Friends Who Care. Diabetic? Not Alone. From an interview by Jessica Larson.
Hi, I'm Matthew. I have had type 1 diabetes since I was 6 years old. That means my body doesn't process nutrients correctly. It's not easy being different, so I like helping other kids who feel different too.
Sugar Rush.
I taught my scout troop first aid for diabetes. For example, if I don't feel well, I need to drink juice. I even showed them how to give me a special shot if I faint. Afterward, we played a diabetes trivia game.
Fashion Statement.
My troop and I made these cool leather ID bracelets for the kids who have just found out they have diabetes. We donated them to the hospital.
Call of the Wild.
I go to a camp with other diabetic kids. I help introduce new campers to my friends and favorite counselors. We love to swim and hike.
Speak Out.
I raise diabetes awareness by sharing my story with local businesses and explaining what diabetes is. It used to be scary, but now I enjoy public speaking.
Suit Up.
I love reading about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6. I know that with Heavenly Father's help, I can do hard things even though I have diabetes.
Give Us a Hand. How do you follow Jesus by helping others? Trace your hand and send us your story and photo, along with your parents' permission. Find out how on page 48. How you can help. Include others. Say hi when you see someone by themselves at school, or invite someone new to sit with you. Get involved. Contact your local hospital or Red Cross and see if they need donations like quilts, stuffed animals, or even medical ID bracelets. Get informed. Learn about a disability or illness and teach your scout troop or activity day group about it. Learn first aid so you can help people in need. End of the section. Friends Who Care. read by Shauna Thompson and Ethan Nelson.
Fun Stuff. Hidden Picture by Ari Vandegraff. Bailey and Ty are looking for their grandparents so they can go through the open house. The temple together. Can you help them out? Grandpa has a mustache, and Grandma is wearing glasses and gold earrings. Can you also find the hidden objects? They are a banana, baseball, bowling pin, candle, carrot, a coin, a fish, a leaf, a mitten, a nut, a paintbrush, a pencil, a salt shaker, a sock, a spatula, and a spoon. End of Fun Stuff Hidden Picture. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Bulletin Board. Be strong. Live the gospel faithfully, even if others around you don't live it at all. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, The Cost and Blessings of Discipleship. Ensign, May 2014, page 9. Lunchbox Sprinkles. Pack dried fruit, nuts, or granola to sprinkle on applesauce or yogurt. Give us a hand.
I sat by my sister in primary to help her feel brave.
So far, you've sent us 10,464 hands. Go to page 48 to find out how to send us your helping hand. Front Door Scavenger Hunt. Look out the front door or window of your house or apartment and try to find everything on this list. For a challenge, make copies of the list for your friends and race to see who finishes first. Can you see something red? Something with four legs. Something fast. Something wet. Something in the sky. Something new. Something that belongs to you. Something very small. Something that smells good. Something that makes you happy. Stand tall. I will dress modestly to show respect for Heavenly Father and myself. My Gospel Standards. How do you choose to be modest? End of Bulletin Board. Read by Kristen Hawkins. Anna's Journey, Part 2. A Prayer in the Night by Jessica Larson. Based on a true story. The train rumbled through the night until it shuddered to a halt at the station in Salt Lake City. It was nearly midnight. Anna grabbed her bag and dragged it onto the platform. Her tired eyes searched for her aunt, but there was no one waiting for her. Fear slid over Anna. She scanned the platform again, hoping she had missed something. Her eyes lingered on the shadows. She tried to make out people's features in the flickering lights, but her aunt was not there. Strangers walked up to her and asked her questions. Anna thought they wanted to help, but she could not understand what they were saying. She had never felt so scared in her life. Not when her classmates in Sweden had mocked her new faith, not when she had been sick on the boat to New York, and not even when she had said goodbye to Mama. Anna closed her eyes and thought back to her mother's words.
Don't forget to pray to your Father in heaven, because He can understand you.
Anna knelt on the platform next to her suitcase and prayed harder than she had ever prayed in her life. She prayed that Heavenly Father would send her someone who spoke Swedish and could understand her. When she finished her prayer, she looked up. There was still no one waiting for her. But then she saw a German family she recognized from the train ride. The mother motioned for her to follow them. Still crying, Anna grabbed her bag and shuffled after them. She followed them to the south gate of the Temple Square block. she looked at the spot where the beautiful new temple had been built. Then suddenly Anna heard quick footsteps nearby. A woman was hurrying toward them, looking closely at all the arriving immigrants. The woman's gaze passed over the German family. Then she paused on Anna. When Anna looked up, the woman stopped and stared. Anna stared back, hope rising in her. Anna knew her. It was her Sunday school teacher who had gone to Utah only a year before. She knew her. The teacher pulled Anna tightly into her arms. She wiped Anna's tears and whispered in Swedish,
"I had gone to bed, but I was awakened over and over again. Images of the arriving immigrants raced through my mind. I could not go back to sleep. I was prompted to come to the temple to see if there was anyone I knew here."
She took Anna's hand and led her down the street.
"Now, come with me."
Later, Anna learned that her aunt and uncle had moved from Salt Lake and had not received her mother's letter. Her teacher sent word to them, and they came to pick up Anna 4 days later. Eventually, Ida and Anna were able to bring Mama to America, too. But for now, none of that mattered. As Anna walked to her teacher's home, she thought,
"Heavenly Father more than answered my prayer. I only asked for someone who could understand me, and he sent someone I knew."
The author lives in Arizona, USA. Find your family heroes. Ask your parents or grandparents to tell you stories about your family. You just might discover a hero from your family's past. You could even act out and video these stories. End of the story. Anna's Journey, Part 2, A Prayer in the Night, by Jessica Larson. Narrated by Kristen Hawkins.
Stand for the right. Our prophet has some words for you, and these are the words. Be true, be true. At work or at play, in darkness or light, be true, and stand for the right. Children's Songbook, page 159. I can stand for the right by choosing good books, good friends, good music, good videos and other media, good words, honesty, kindness, modesty, respect. I can follow Jesus Christ. End of the article, Stand for the Right, read by Noah Strongin.
Question Corner. How do I know if something is appropriate to do on Sunday?
I think that you can tell if something is appropriate on Sunday by asking if it will invite the Spirit or if it will help you think about Heavenly Father. You can see if it is something that is rough and not calm. We shouldn't be doing rough things on the day of rest. Katie A., age 11, Utah, USA.
I think if you can feel the Spirit while you do something on Sunday, then it is a good thing to do. Some things my sisters and I like to do on Sunday are write in our journals, play with each other, read good books, write to our friends and family, take naps, make scripture movies with our brothers, watch scripture movies, call our grandparents, read the scriptures, and of course, go to church and primary. Joyce, Sage, and Mercy, J, ages 3, 5, and 9. Taranaki, New Zealand.
When I am doing something that is not right for the Sabbath, I feel like it's not right because the Holy Ghost is telling me it's not right. I always ask my mom or dad if it's right for the Sabbath. Rebecca H., age 7, Utah, USA.
I know that I should not go to stores on Sunday. I also know that I should try to take my scriptures to church on Sunday. I should wear church clothes to church. If I do these things, then I can feel the Holy Ghost. Joshua N., age 8, Alberta, Canada.
Ask a parent if it's the right thing to do. See if it has anything to do with the gospel. Lucy G., age 7, Virginia, USA.
You know when something is appropriate to do on Sunday because you feel the Spirit. I feel the Spirit when I go to church, read my scriptures, or read the Friend magazine. Hannah G., age 9, Ohio, USA.
You can make the Sunday box from last month's Friend. Go to Family Fun Time on page 6. Responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. Next question. My grandpa has been so sad ever since Grandma died. How can I help him feel better? Do you have some thoughts about this? Send us your answer and photo by August 31st, 2015. Find our address on page 48 or email us at friend@ldschurch.org. Put Question Corner in the subject line. Remember to include a parent's permission. Use the permission statement on page 48.
Fast Friends by Amanda Michaelis, based on a true story. Could a bad video game cost Diego his new friend? Choose the right when a choice is placed before you. Hymns number 239. Diego trudged up the hill on his way home from school. Recess was usually the best part of the day, but all week it had been terrible. No one wanted to play soccer with him, so he just walked around the playground by himself until the bell rang.
Mom, I'm home,
Diego yelled as he slid through the door and sat down in the kitchen.
How was school?
Mom asked.
Not so good.
Diego grabbed an apple.
No one wanted to play with me at recess.
He could feel tears coming, so he squeezed his eyes shut.
It's hard feeling lonely or left out,
Mom said. She put her hand on Diego's shoulder.
Maybe you could say a prayer for help.
Diego rubbed his eyes.
Thanks,
he said, and ran to his room. Did Heavenly Father really care if he had friends at recess? Diego knelt down and prayed that he could find a friend. When he finished, he felt a little better, but he still had no idea what to do. After school the next day, there was a knock on the door. Diego ran to answer it.
Hi, I'm Reuben,
the boy at the door said. He had just moved into an apartment downstairs. Diego had seen him on the playground today.
Do you want to play?
Diego grinned. A friend to play with. It was an answer to his prayer. They walked to Reuben's place and sat down on the couch. Reuben's older brother was playing a video game. Diego didn't know what to think at first. The game was really violent and had gross pictures. But Reuben and his brother seemed to like it.
Get him!
Reuben shouted as they watched. Diego felt his stomach squirm and he stared down at his feet. He knew he wasn't supposed to be watching video games like this one. But what could he do? He didn't want his new friend to think he was too boring to play exciting video games. Would Reuben think he was weird if he spoke up? He looked around the room and tried to think of other things they could do. Diego took a deep breath.
Hey, can you show me your room? Or maybe we could play somewhere else?
He said. Reuben looked at Diego for a second. Diego bit his lip. Would Reuben say he didn't want to play anymore? Then Reuben's eyes lit up.
Wait, do you like cars? I have the fastest cars in my room. Want to race them?
Diego smiled and nodded. He followed Reuben out of the room. The heavy feeling lifted. He felt like he was floating down the hall. He was glad he had a new friend, and he was glad he hadn't watched something bad.
The red car is mine, but you can use the blue one or the green one. Which one do you want?
Diego reached for the green car, his favorite color. This was an easy choice to make.
Sidebar. It requires courage to make good choices, even when others around us choose differently. Elder W. Craig Zwick of the 70. We will not yield, we cannot yield. Ensign, May 2008, page 97.
End of the story, Fast Friends, narrated by Devin Stockwell.
Aim for the best. Every day we have lots of decisions to make, like what to watch, where, or do with our time. Here are some guidelines to help you make good choices. Good, better, best. Elder Dallin H. Oaks said, consider how we use our time and the choices we are making in viewing television, playing video games, surfing the internet, or reading books or magazines. Some things are better, and others are best. When the Lord told us to seek learning, He said, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. D&C, section 88, verse 118. Growing better. Sometimes, even if something isn't obviously harmful or wrong, it can distract us from reaching our goals. Elder Quentin L. Cook talked about making good choices. He told about a father who uses a question to help his children make decisions. He asks them, "Will this make you a better person? If the Savior stood beside me." Singing a hymn or primary song can help us make good decisions. The words to the song, "If the Savior stood beside me," remind us that Jesus Christ knows us and loves us. Would we make the same decisions if He were standing nearby? Cut out this bullseye and hang it where it will remind you to aim for the best. Print more copies at friend.lds.org. Good, better, best. Does what I say, how I act, how I dress, what I read, what I watch, and how I treat others bring me closer to Jesus Christ? End of the article, Aim for the Best. Read by Scott Christopher.
Show and Tell. Everyone at school in the fourth grade was reading a book that was very popular. I put the book on hold at the library, and finally it was my turn. I started reading it and realized that the book made me feel uncomfortable. I read two chapters to see if it changed, but it didn't. I stopped reading the book and returned it to the library. I felt good for choosing the right. Savannah M., age 9, Wyoming, USA.
I enjoy surprises and helping and cleaning. I also like music and practicing the piano. I like traveling also. There are many places I have been. I believe that God will guide me along the way and keep me safe. And I believe that you can believe Heavenly Father too. Mackenzie M., age 8, Michigan, USA.
A friend of mine told me about a new computer game. I watched him play it, and it was very scary. I thought that if I had played it, I would have nightmares. I had the strong feeling that I should not play this game. I knew it was the Holy Ghost telling me that it would be wrong. I am so grateful that I had listened. Thomas R., age 8, California, USA.
Daniel S., age 8, France, keeps busy learning Portuguese, French, and English. He and his sister practice karate and both moved onto the green belt. In his free time, Daniel likes to draw. One of his heroes is Captain Moroni. Daniel wants to be brave like him.
Primary children from the Marston Ward, Kawatha State, Queensland, Australia, love meeting together as a primary and learning about Jesus.
The children from the Busia Branch Primary in the Uganda Kampala Mission show their love for the Savior by praying, studying the scriptures, and going to primary. They also carry water and their siblings on their back, gather sticks for firewood, and wash the dishes.
Be kind like Jesus Christ. Igor P., age 8, Sao Paulo, Brazil.
I can help Jesus by choosing the right. Sometimes I make my little sister's bed for her. Samantha P., age 5, Utah, USA.
I helped clean up my toys. Christopher B., age 6, Illinois, USA.
I make people happy with my smile. Christina B., age 6, Illinois, USA.
I made breakfast every Sunday. Tyson P., age 7, Idaho, USA.
I helped clean up the classroom with my friend. Reese W., age 4, Hawaii, USA.
I help my mom by taking care of my little brother when she has to cook for us. Ariana C., age 6, California, USA.
I tickled my sister to keep her busy. Amanda R., age 7, Oregon, USA.
I help my grandpa by taking out the trash cans every week. Misael C., age 8, California, USA.
My parents got a divorce, so now I go to a new primary. It's scary for me. I help my daddy by going to class and not crying. Carson P., age 5, Utah, USA.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Jared F., age 10, Gauteng, South Africa. Gabriel B., age 9, Idaho, USA. Charlotte T., age 6, Arizona, USA. Find more art at childart.lds.org. Helping Hands, 10,464 hands and counting. Tell us how you've served. See page 48 to send us your helping hand. End of show and tell.
Fun Stuff, Dancing Through Life by David Dixon, Church Magazines. Part of living our gospel standards means choosing good, uplifting music. This family is listening to some uplifting music that makes them want to dance. The Grapevine is an easy dance you can learn. Try it whenever awesome music makes you want to get up and move. Do the Grapevine. Grapevine to the right. 1. Step with your right foot to the right side. 2. Step with your left foot behind the right. 3. Step your right foot to the side. 4. Bring your left foot over to connect with the right. Now, grapevine to the left. Do the opposite steps as above by stepping left with your left foot. Step your right foot behind the left, etc. Repeat. Clap and dance to the music and beat. Find fun music to dance to at lds.org/youth/music. End of Fun Stuff, Dancing Through Life by David Dixon. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Music, Dare to Do Right. Words by George L. Taylor. Music by A.C. Smythe. Watch a sing-along video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Music. End of Music, Dare to Do Right. Special Witness, How Can I Stay Free? By Elder Quinton L. Cook of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be free to make choices between good and evil. Addictions to things like drugs and alcohol destroy good health and limit our freedom. Too much time playing video games, playing sports, or watching TV can take up all of our free time. It is important that we protect some of our free time for our family. From Lamentations of Jeremiah, Beware of Bondage, Ensign, November 2013, pages 88 through 91.
Making Choices, a story from Elder Cook's life. When Elder Quinton L. Cook was 15 years old, he had a talk with his big brother Joe. Joe was trying to decide if he should go to medical school instead of going on a mission. They talked long into the night. They talked about the gospel, They talked about testimonies. They talked about serving a mission. Joe knew that going to medical school and becoming a doctor was a good way to help people. But he also knew that Jesus Christ truly lived, that Joseph Smith was really a prophet, and that the Book of Mormon was really true. So he knew that going on a mission first would be a better choice. Quentin learned that night that his brother Joe had a strong testimony. Quentin decided that he wanted to have a testimony too. After they finished talking that night, Quentin went to another room to pray. He had always had a testimony of Jesus Christ, and he believed that Joseph Smith was a prophet. He believed the Book of Mormon and the church were true, but he wanted a spiritual witness from the Holy Ghost. As he prayed, a powerful witness came to him that swept away any doubts he had forever. Now, Elder Cook relies on that strong testimony to help him with every choice he needs to make. Five facts about Elder Cook. Born on September 8, 1940, the L stands for Lamar, played basketball, football, and baseball in high school, served a mission to the British Mission, became an apostle in October 2007. End of the article, Special Witness, How Can I Stay Free? Read by Dwayne Case and Wes Nelson.
Clara and the Primary Program by Jane McBride Choate, based on a true story. Clara and her family had just been baptized. Clara liked going to church together on Sunday. One Sunday, the primary president said there would be a primary program soon. Number one.
Can you read a scripture and bear your testimony in the primary program?
She asked. Clara nodded. She was excited, but she was nervous too. What if she made a mistake? Number two. Clara practiced her part every night. She didn't know all the words in the scripture yet.
You'll do great,
Mama said. Clara wasn't so sure. This was her first primary program. All the other kids had done this before. Number three.
Remember, if you do your best, Heavenly Father will do the rest,
Papa told her. The night before the program, Clara prayed for help. She stayed on her knees and thought about her part. She felt good about it. On Sunday morning, Clara prayed that she wouldn't be scared. Number four. When it was her turn, Clara walked to the front. She messed up one of the words in the scripture, but then she remembered how good she felt after her prayer. She smiled and bore her testimony. She talked about how much she loved Jesus. Number five. Clara smiled as she sat back down. She knew Heavenly Father didn't care that she didn't say her part perfectly. He cared what was in her heart. End of the story, Clara and the Primary Program. Narrated by Shauna Thompson.
For Little Friends, The Good Night Train by Donna Hawes. Chugga, 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 choo, choo, choo. Chugga, 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 put away shoes. Chugga, 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 prayers are said. Chugga, 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 time for bed. Chugga, 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 choo, choo, choo. Chugga, 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 I love you. Chugga, 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 hug me tight. Chugga, 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 say good night. End of the section for Little Friends. End of the story, The Good Night Train by Donna Hawes. Read by Kate Strongin. Scripture Time. Learn about the New Testament together this year. Jesus Brings Lazarus Back to Life by Jean Bingham. Has someone in your family been sick? Jesus' friends Mary and Martha worried because their brother Lazarus was very sick. They sent someone to tell Jesus so he could come heal Lazarus. But Lazarus died before Jesus got there. When Jesus saw how sad Mary and Martha were, he cried. Then he asked someone to move the stone from the door of the tomb, and he commanded Lazarus to come out. Lazarus's spirit came back into his body, and he walked out of the tomb still wearing burial clothes.
people were amazed. Jesus had power over death. He truly was the Son of God. Each of Jesus' miracles showed his great love and his great power. If we believe in him and follow his example, we will live with him again. Watch or read other scripture stories at children.lds.org. Family Talk. Talk about how you would have felt if you had seen Lazarus come out of the tomb. Then read John chapter 11, verses 1 through 46 together and finish these sentences. Number 1. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. Number 2. When Jesus got to Bethany, Lazarus. Number 3. Martha believed that. Number 4. Jesus wept because. Number 5. Jesus prayed to Heavenly Father because. Number 6. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, many people. Blank, but some people. Death is part of Heavenly Father's plan, and sometimes our loved ones are sick or die. Even when our prayers aren't answered the way we would like, we can have faith that Heavenly Father loves us and knows what is best. Song, He Sent His Son, Children's Songbook, page 34. Watch a sing-along video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Music. Scriptures, Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, and 2 Nephi chapter 27, verse 23. Video. Go to BibleVideos.org to watch Lazarus is Raised from the Dead. Scripture Tip. Use the Bible map in your scriptures to learn more about scripture stories. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived in Bethany, a town near Jerusalem. Some of the leaders in Jerusalem wanted to harm Jesus, so his disciples were worried about going to a town so close to Jerusalem. Jesus was not afraid and encouraged his disciples to follow him. Learn more. The Hebrew name Lazarus means God is my help. Jesus helped Lazarus by bringing him back to life. How have Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ helped you and your family?
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, we find Mandy having lunch at school with a group of classmates. One of the girls named Allie says,
I'm having a birthday party next weekend on the 23rd. We're going to Funland Park at 2 o'clock. Can you come?
Mandy excitedly responds,
I'd love to. Let me check with my mom.
Later in the day during class, Mandy thinks happily on the invitation.
Yes! I'm starting to fit in. Allie is really nice. Her party should be fun.
But then looking at a calendar, she realizes the party is on a Sunday. Mandy rationalizes,
I know it's on a Sunday, but maybe it would be okay just this once. Besides, I don't want to hurt Allie's feelings. If I ask Mom and Dad, they'll probably tell me it's my decision. What should I do?
The next day at school, Mandy sees Allie and informs her,
I'm sorry I can't come to your party. I'm glad you invited me, and I hope you have a great birthday. Can we hang out another time?
At home that day, Mandy says to her mom,
Can we bake some birthday cookies to take to my friend Allie this weekend?
Turn to page 21 to read kids' advice about keeping the Sabbath day holy. End of Matt and Mandy.
Article of Faith number 9. We believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Reveal means to tell something that was not known before. The scriptures contain many things Heavenly Father has revealed in the past and events that will happen in the future. He continues to reveal things now to the prophet and apostles. We hear these truths at general conference. Pertain means about or relating to. Articles of Faith in Action.
I prayed before general conference that someone would talk about love one another. When I heard Elder Oak speak,
I knew that Heavenly Father had answered my prayer. Jaden M., age 10, Arizona, USA.
Memorization tip. God has revealed many things throughout time, past, present, and future. 9 sounds like time, so Article of Faith number 9 is about revelation over time. Play the Articles of Faith memory quest at children.lds.org. Click on Games and Activities. This month's challenges. Memorize Article of Faith number 9. When you read something in the scriptures that you know is true, write it in your journal so you can remember it and ponder it often. Choose a general conference talk to prayerfully study. Find at least one principle and make a goal to live it for the entire month. I challenge myself to. End of this section, Article of Faith number 9. Read by Amelie Strongen and Tess Hawkins.
For Older Kids, Shelley's Race by Jan Pinborough, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Lately, it seemed like no one could give Shelley the help she needed. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10.
Hey, Shelley!
Shelley looked up from tying her running shoes to see Rosa waving from the starting line.
Come on! Today we're going to beat her best time!
Shelley grinned. Rosa said that every practice. Shelley liked 2 things about her new middle school. The first thing was being on the track team. When she ran, she felt light inside, like she didn't need to worry about anything. The second thing she liked was that nobody here knew that her parents had just gotten divorced. Shelley gave her shoelace 1 last tug and took off to join the other girls on the relay team. Ouch, she winced as her toes jammed into the end of her running shoes. How was she going to tell Dad she needed new shoes again? After the race, Shelley, Rosa, Becca, and Tiana were celebrating their new best relay time.
I told you we were going to do it today,
Rosa said. Shelley laughed. She handed the baton to their track teacher and bent to loosen her laces.
Good work, girls,
Mrs. Edwards said.
You work really well together. Don't forget to pay your track fee tomorrow.
Shelley's smile faded. She had totally forgotten about that. On the bus ride home, all Shelley could think about was the shoes and the track fee. She didn't want to give Mom one more thing to worry about, and the last time she had called to ask Dad for extra money, he had sounded annoyed. Lately, it seemed like there was no one who could give her the help she needed. When she got home, Shelley went straight to her room. At dinner, her brothers and sisters talked and joked, but she just pushed her food around her plate. After dinner, Mom helped Shelley clear the table.
I'm meeting with Bishop Parker tonight,
Mom said.
Would you like to come and get a priesthood blessing?
Shelley nodded. She really missed the blessings Dad used to give her when she was worried or sick. A little later, as Bishop Parker gave her a blessing, Shelley felt something deep inside her relax.
Shelley, your dad isn't in your home to help you now,
he said in the blessing.
But your Heavenly Father is always there. I bless you that you will be able to talk to him just as you would to your dad, and Heavenly Father will always help you.
Shelley felt lighter than she had for a long time. She had a warm feeling inside that told her the bishop's words were true. Heavenly Father loved her and would listen to her. With his help, maybe she could even have the courage to talk to her parents. On the way home, she told Mom about the shoes and the track fee. That night, she knelt and asked Heavenly Father to help her have the courage to talk to her dad. She prayed about it again on the bus to school the next morning. By the time she got home from school, she felt brave enough to call her dad. This time, he didn't seem impatient or annoyed when she told him what she needed. Her prayers had been answered. A few weeks later, Shelley laced up her new running shoes and ran to join Rosa and the other girls. It felt good to know she had a great team supporting her. She didn't need to run her race alone. Sidebar. I was really nervous before a scout campout, and my mom reminded me that I can pray anytime, anywhere, even as I was hiking. I went on the campout and prayed when I started feeling nervous and homesick. It made me feel better to know that Heavenly Father is always listening. I still get nervous on campouts, but I know that I can pray anytime. Zach W., age 12, Utah, USA. End of the story. Shelley's Race by Jen Pinborough, narrated by Wes Nelson.
Help! Questions About Divorce by Katherine Nelson. When parents get divorced, kids often feel scared, worried, guilty, mad, confused, relieved, or sad, sometimes all at the same time. If this has happened to you or one of your friends, here are some thoughts that might help.
I feel left out. It seems like everyone but me has perfect families.
No family is perfect, even if they seem that way. Remember that your parents, bishop, primary teachers, neighbors, and friends all love you. Sometimes people might say things that hurt your feelings without meaning to. When that happens, don't be afraid to tell them how you feel and help them see a better way to talk to you about the divorce.
I'm mad at my mom and dad.
It's easy to feel angry when there's nothing you can do about a situation. You might even want to take your mad feelings out on others. Even though it can be hard, keep trying to show love for your family. Pray for help to see your parents as Jesus sees them. He loves them, you, and everyone else in your family. If you can't stop feeling angry, talk to your mom or dad or someone else you trust. They can help you find healthy ways to feel better, like exercising or making art.
Who will I be with in heaven?
Because of Jesus' atonement, everything will work out after we die. You don't have to worry. No matter what, you will always be part of your heavenly parents' family. If you keep trying to choose the right, you'll have all the blessings Heavenly Father has planned for you.
Is it my fault my parents got divorced?
You may think you could have helped your parents stay together. But the truth is that it's not your fault at all. They made the decision to get divorced. The children in the family are not responsible for the divorce.
I'm scared about what will happen next.
When big changes happen, it's natural to worry about the future. Talk to your mom and dad. They want to know when you're upset, and they can help with worries and questions you have. Be sure to pray for comfort.
I feel really sad all the time.
It's okay to feel sad. Being sad about such a big change is an important step to feeling better later. Even though you might feel sad sometimes, keep doing things you love to do. Spend time outside. Read a good book. Listen to happy music. Try hard in school. Have fun with your friends. Pray to Heavenly Father. If your sad feelings last a really long time and make it hard for you to sleep, eat, focus on school, or do things you normally like doing, talk to a grown-up you trust so he or she can help you feel better again. Things will get better. No matter what you're feeling now, you'll start to feel better with time. In the meantime, keep praying to Heavenly Father for comfort. Remember that Heavenly Father and Jesus are always watching over you and will never leave you alone. They love you and your parents and will help all of you. They will give you the strength to feel peaceful and happy. What has helped you get through a tough time like divorce? How can you help others through tough times? End of the article, Help! Questions About Divorce, by Katherine Nelson. Read by Van Farnworth and Amelie Strongen.
P.S. We hope you enjoyed this month's magazine. Please write to tell us what you liked. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or photograph. 1. Fill out the form below and include it with your submission. 2. Include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old to send us a submission. please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East North Temple Street, Room 2432, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email friends@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. First and last name. Age. Boy or girl. State or province and country. I give permission to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to use my child's submission and photo on the church website and social media platforms, as well as for church reports, print products, video, publications, and training materials. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Email of parent or legal guardian. Visit friends.lds.org. Play games and watch videos. Read the friend online. Through your eyes.
I like that there are lots of deer in my town. They are so gentle. They remind me that Jesus is gentle too. Nathaniel P., age 9, Wyoming, USA.
The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, we see a bunch of kids in cardboard boxcars in a huge pileup, and they look exhausted. The young boy directing exclaims,
"That was our best car chase scene yet. I just forgot to press record."
End of the section. P.S. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Dear parents and teachers, divorce can be a hard topic to talk about with children. This month's magazine includes a story about a girl who is dealing with her parents' divorce, page 44. On page 46, there are answers to questions and worries kids might have about divorce. By talking about this in an open, safe way, we can help our children deal with hard times or support friends who are struggling. You are loved. The Friend. Order The Friend at store.lds.org. Family Home Evening Ideas. Kindness. Read Tag You're It, page 4. What can you do if someone is being bullied or left out? What would Jesus do? Use Family Fun Time, page 6, to talk about being a good friend. Then make the Rainbow Delight treat. Choosing the Best. Read Elder Cook's message on page 30. Then turn to the Aim for the Best poster, page 24. Cut out the bullseye and hang it somewhere you will see it often. Where would your family's activities fit on the bullseye? Family History. Solve this month's Family History Mystery, see page 11. Do your parents and grandparents have journals your family could look through? Why is it important to keep a journal? Consider starting a family journal to add to each week during family night. Little kids could help by drawing pictures for the entries. Be an example. Read Elder Porter's message on page 12. What have your family members done this week to be good examples to others? Start in a dimly lit room and turn on lights as you review each idea in the sidebar, Four Ways You Can Shine, page 13. What else could you add to the list? Primary connection. Look for the colored diamonds on the table of contents to find stories and activities that support primary this month. Find more teaching resources at lessonhelps.lds.org. Topics in this issue. Articles of Faith, page 43. Bullying, page 4. Choices, pages 8, 22, 24, and 30. Courage, pages 9, 18, and 22. Divorce, pages 44 and 46. Family History, page 11. Forgiveness, pages 8 and 10. Friendship, pages 4, 14, 20, and 22. Health, pages 14 and 30. Honesty, page 8. Jesus Christ, pages 10, 12, 20, 26, and 40. Media, pages 20, 22, 24, 26, and 30. Obedience, pages 2 and 21. Peer pressure, pages 4 and 8. Prayer, pages 18, 31, 32, 36, and 44. Repentance, pages 8 and 10. Sabbath, page 21. Service, pages 26 and 40. Standards, pages 20, 21, 24, and 30. End of the section, Dear Parents and Teachers, read by Terrell Williams.